Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
They read poetry at a basketball game.
With Dusty Hera.
There's just one thing, dude. You have to use so many cuss words.
And Cam Cleland.
Nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
First you gotta do the truffle shuffle. Come on, do it!
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number three on this Tuesday morning. Dusty here at Camp Leland.
Better You Today text
line. What are you doing?
I used that Dove for Men and it left my skin feeling oily. That's not for men. Exclamation point. Exclamation
well, dry point. Skin isn't a good thing to have.
Have you ever been to the house? Remember, see, we lived in Arizona and there was the water softener. Have you guys ever used the water softener with all the salt tablets? And
no.
It makes you feel, the water feels really, it feels very oily. And it just feels, I don't know if those of you have ever done that, because it's very hard water down south. And so you use water softeners. And it puts like this salt, and it just feels like you can't get the water off of you. It's a strange thing to get used to.
I don't know
if anybody up here uses those kind of water softeners like that.
One thing we take for granted is the quality of water we have in the Pacific Northwest. We got great drinking water. We got great water for showering. It's awesome. You're also, my Dove for Men. For women, for men, is one text. But how about this? You're the beer shower. You're missing the boat on, man.
I'm not missing the boat.
You are totally missing the boat on a beer shower and the relaxation that comes from having a nice frosty brew in a warm shower.
So I take showers in the morning.
Yeah.
Don't quite understand why a beer shower would be a good idea.
You don't do it every single day.
Sounds like you do.
What? No.
No, shower is an efficient time for me. It's about efficiency. I don't have time to sit there and hang out. We got a lot of stuff to go, and I want to waste water in there.
You're missing out on one of the great joys
of
life.
I'm trying to water conserve.
One of the great joys of this world is a beer shower every now and then.
Someday, maybe.
Or just relax.
Maybe partake.
It'll change your life, man.
I don't have
a
fridge in the bathroom either. Do you have a fridge in the bathroom?
No. Wait, no, again, you're not drinking
a
12-pack.
Sounds like you are.
No.
So next time.
What are you talking about?
Next time you come home from 18 holes of golf, just crack a beer,
I've
hop in the shower.
I've never in my mind had a desire to have a beer. And I'm not going to hate on it. I just find it's, the shower is efficiency.
Well.
Or relaxation.
Right. Or relaxation. It's up to you. So whatever, whatever's up to you.
All right. Let's talk a little NBA here. Charles Barkley went on the Open Floor podcast. That's a Sports Illustrated podcast during the All-Star break. And he discussed a litany of things. But one thing that was on kind of the forefront of everybody's mind coming out of the All-Star break was Anthony Davis and the trade demands that he had prior to the trade deadline and what's going to happen in the aftermath now that he wasn't traded from the New Orleans Pelicans. And Sir Charles had some pretty interesting takes on what has become the Players League.
Like anybody who worked for me, I make sure they know they work for me. We don't work together, they work for me. They better do whatever they say or they're going to get fired. Because you know what? I can get somebody to do what they do. They can't get nobody to do what I do. And we ain't been Anthony Davis walking around. And the situation, and I said last week, and it's gotten worse already. This is a bad situation. It's a bad look for the NBA. Because that kid can't go out there and give 100% because he can't worry about getting hurt. The Pelicans ain't trying to win. And you see already, he's had less than 3 points twice in the last week. That's ridiculous.
He's just basically saying, look, this is Anthony Davis stepping out. Rich Paul, his agent, Clutch Sports Management, yeah. LeBron's agency, they screwed this thing up because a lot of people, Dell Demps got fired of the yeah. Pelicans because of this.
That was on Dell Demps.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but this is a big reason why in the Anthony Davis saga, because why does it happen then after the right after the trade deadline and after Anthony Davis gets disgruntled and leaves the arena after hurting his shoulder?
I personally disagree with Dell Demps. I think he was an idiot. I think that he made a big mistake not getting that trade done with the Lakers. What job are you doing trying to show up LeBron James and who else? Clutch Sports. You're going to show Dell Demps. You're going to sit in New Orleans and you're going to show those guys up. You're going to show up LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Clutch Sports. Mm-hmm. You're going to show them a lesson. You know what they did? They went beep, 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 beep. Hey, Adams over and the rest of the guys. How do we get Dell Demps? And excuse me, Mrs. Benson, do you realize who we are? Yeah.
Okay, the agent said that.
Yes. And the rest of them did that and went, click, here, just a minute, hold my beer for a second.
In my shower.
What runs the NBA?
Players.
Clutch Sports, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, stars. Nobody cares about Dell Demps. He screwed that up.
Well,
you're not gonna sell me on it. His pride ruined that.
And here is why Dell Demps may have done it is part two of what Charles Barkley's talking about.
I hear all these clowns on TV talking about it's great that all these players are exuding these powers. Let me tell you guys something. Workers ain't never going to have power over their ownerships, ever. Now, it might work for a couple guys here or there, but in the history of the world, no workers have ever overtaken the people who own a business. And when these guys are sitting home locked out in a couple of years, I want y'all to remember I told y'all that.
I think this may be the first start of a pushback from some guy, and yeah, his head's rolling, Dell Demps, but it's for, as you mentioned, a lot of other reasons besides this Anthony Davis situation, but the pushback of the players' league, the owners want their control back.
Charles is right. Look, why I can speak to this really and speak to it truthfully is because as part of the NFL and part of the Players Association, we would have these meetings. And here's the discussion between the two. Here's the separation. And Chuck hits the nail on the head. Every year at our meetings, we'd have guys with Gene Upshaw and the top leaders that were up there, the guys that were the higher ranking guys or guys that have been in the league a while that have got their money and they're feeling very secure and confident. They would stand up in front of and say, we're going to fight back against these guys. We're going to do this. Yet all of us are on the sitting outside. A lot of guys are making league minimum or not been in the league very long or looking up at you going, that's fantastic for you guys. But what does the rest of the league say? Charles is spot on. There are a handful of guys that run the league. You can probably count them. You saw them all this weekend from the NBA. Those guys are all secure. Okay, mm-hmm. They got Nike money. They got Adidas money. They got Under Armour money. They got Kawhi Leonard's got New Balance money. They're fine. What about the rest of the league? What about the other 400 players? What about the other 420 players? Those are the ones that are going to have to make the decisions. And Chuck is right. Because the ones that sit comfortably with James Harden, a $200 million Adidas deal, are the ones that don't care. And neither does LeBron. They don't care because there will always be somebody to take your job next to the lower echelon. I knew that. I got that when I was sitting in those meetings. I knew exactly who they were calling for. They're calling for the 1%, even of the 1%ers. That's what Chuck is talking to.
Yep.
The 1% of the 1%ers control everything. So if you do think, and I know that might blow a mind if that makes sense, but the 1% of the 450 players in that league, okay, which is like, it's not very many, it's 10 guys, control the entire league. The owners don't. They think they do, but they don't.
It's not about Damian Lillard. It's about Jake Layman is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, that's the guy that's
completely.
That's the guy who's going to take.
Expendable.
Who's going to be sitting there and he's going to go, well, I'm going to cross over and I'm going to ruin this whole lockout thing. But I find it very interesting that Charles is so adamant. You know, he thinks Anthony Davis screwed this up by making it vocal, making it as public as it was, because his agent felt that he was empowered. That was the first one, you know? He's saying Anthony Davis needs his management to realize, you work for me. We don't work together. You work for me. Because Rich Paul and Clutch Sports has actually kind of hurt Anthony Davis because New Orleans hates him now, right? The town that he's in. And it's a minor ding on his, albeit it could go away and it's minor, but yeah, it has the perception of him is going to sway for the short term.
You think New Orleans?
He's trying to force his way out, right?
So you think the city of New Orleans, who cares nothing about basketball, is the reason why Anthony Davis is losing sleep?
No,
did LaMarcus
no.
Aldridge lose any sleep when he got $88 million and went to San Antonio?
You're missing the point here.
Okay, so help me with your point.
If you're taking it, if you take this privately and you handle these things and don't make it as public, where you're releasing your preferred destinations, you have Rich Paul who's actively saying, "We want out. We want out," right? And you just go behind closed doors as much as you can and say, "Let's get something done. Can you please? That's not the way it works. Can we please get dealt instead of making it a big hubbub about me and these lists of preferred destinations being as public? Your dad going and doing interviews,
Dusty. That sounds fantastic, but that's not the reality of the NBA. That is not the reality of what LeBron James did. Made everything public. What Kawhi Leonard made everything public. Okay, this is what Anthony Davis is doing now. This is what LaMarcus Aldridge is doing. Everybody that wants out or they're disgruntled, they'll lie to you first and say they want to be here. And then when it comes down to contract times, if they don't like the move forward, they don't like the ownership, they don't like it, they go public. Because why do they go public? The court of public opinion and everybody here wants to see stars. They don't want to see stars in crap places.
And this is the whole point, is that Kawhi took a hit, LaMarcus took a hit, LeBron takes a hit.
What did he
take? In a PR nightmare like this one that is playing out for Anthony Davis right now, if you don't go out and say these things and be as vocal about it, then is it really
PR nightmare? This is exactly what Clutch Sports want. It's called purposely putting this out there in front of all of us. I didn't think it was a PR nightmare. Remember, it was good press or bad press. You're talking about it. There's no such thing as bad publicity in this business anymore. It is about shock value and how much you can get. Just ask the Kardashians.
Just ask
what this league is.
And that's what Charles is saying. And I agree with it. But that's what I'm saying, is that you can handle it behind closed doors.
I don't think that's what the league is growing for. It might not make it blow up
as it is right now. And it's exactly what is going to lead to, as Charles is alluding to, this entire thing saying, the owner saying, we're not going to have it anymore. Uh-huh. Have fun with the lockout.
I don't know if I believe that, because I believe this is an individual league based on stars, and they've never been more of a need of a star-based league that sells shoes. Owners don't sell shoes. Owners don't sell jerseys. They don't. There's no shoes in baseball. Okay. There's no, you're not walking around worrying about equipment for football. Okay. This is a league that's built that way.
But don't you feel that like they don't want that? They want their power back?
No, I don't believe that at all, because they've never been wealthier. Just sitting in there, just licking their thumbs, counting their hundreds.
But they could still do that and get their power back in 2021 is kind of what Chuck is saying, right?
Well, that remains to be seen.
Right.
Okay. It's fair to say. We'll see what happens.
That's what we'll find out in what, 2023? I think that's when it is that we could all see it coming to a head. All right. 55305 is our Better You Today text line. The criticism of the unknown. Why do people fear it and criticize guys like Kyler Murray and Tim Tebow so much? We talked about it as our textual relations. Get your feedback. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Song Take You Back, song right here.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Great song. All right, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Why do we criticize the unknown in our sports? And we played an audio clip from Kyler Murray, which I thought was really good. But I think the Tim Tebow one bears a replay, because this is a guy that was a Heisman Trophy winning football player, national champion football player, first round draft pick, won a playoff game, and then said, I'm going to go and play baseball. And he's caught a lot of heat for it. And a lot of the same heat Kyler Murray is taking for being a first round draft pick and going and rolling the dice on an NFL career. And here's what Tebow had to say about the naysayers and this criticism of the unknown.
You know, it's really trying to keep perspective and not letting other people define you, because they sure do want to. And I try to encourage young people all the time to not let the world or other people, outside sources define you, because you're always going to have critics and naysayers and people that are going to tell you that you won't, that you can't, that you shouldn't. Most of those people are the people that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't. And don't be defined by outside sources. You go after your dreams. Succeeding or failing is not making it to the bigs, or it's not necessarily fulfilling that. It's having to not live with regret because I didn't try. And, you know, I just feel for all the young people out there that don't go after something because they're so afraid of failing, that you're going to live with a lot more regret than you would have if you tried and you failed. And I'm very passionate about that. And I think the reason that a lot of people don't go after things is because how much you will be criticized, and what if I fall flat on my face? And so fear and doubt and all these things creep in, and I just don't believe that's the healthiest way to live. I don't want to have to live with fear or doubt every day. And, you know, regardless of what everyone here says about me, and I'm so grateful that doesn't define me. There's one thing that defines me, and that's what God says about me. And besides that, I get to go live out my dreams and try to help as many people along the way as possible.
Pretty good perspective from a guy that gets torn down by so many people on a daily basis.
That's a fantastic thing to say for all of us to listen to. You can take what you want from Tim Tebow. You can use it for something. You can listen to it. It's one of those comments where you look at it and go, oh, for gosh sakes, there's no way I'm an elite father. I'm just like somebody going, I'm moving around this, trying to figure crap out every single day. What do I do? Take little bits from here, little bits from there. Listening to somebody like that. And you always hear me say, don't be afraid of stuff. Don't let fear drive you. I mean, it's natural. It's what we do. You're afraid of football. I talk to moms and dads all the time. Say, I'm not going to let my kids play football. Why? Because I'm afraid. Afraid of what? And I try to get to the root of the fear. And so this is one of those things where Tim Tebow says, people tell me I suck. Okay. I love God. I'm too outspoken. I shouldn't be playing baseball. I got a bad throwing motion. They'd constantly tell him what he's not and what he shouldn't do. And I admire somebody like that who stands up and goes, oh, I'm going to go play for the Mets. I'm going to try baseball. I'm going to do something because I don't want to be told at the end I didn't try because I was scared. Because there's tons of us out there that don't let their kids do something because they're scared. My boys don't want to go to speech class, and they don't want to stand up in front. Well, neither did I when I was that age. But you know what? Give it a try. Stand up in front. See what works. It might work out for you. You may put yourself in front of a mic. Talk for a living. You might like it. You might have a lot of naysayers. You might have a lot of people that disagree with you. But in the end, just try it.
You know that fear that you're talking about right there? You know, that fear. I wonder how many people on a daily basis don't do something, don't say something because of that fear.
I think it's with all of us. All of us. We every single day you're going to, oh, not doing that. I'm scared. Well, I mean, I don't like to do that. You want to go hang out with some snakes?
No.
You're afraid of snakes, aren't you?
Well, yeah, that's different than,
no,
than
it's
this. I don't want to hang out with snakes. I don't want to do that.
But there are people that handle snakes every single day, and they're reptile efficiency.
Right.
And they're really good at it.
But I'm wondering, like, when we're talking about these pressures and the fear of what is going to be said, done, or reaction of people, how many things you stop and just say, you know, there's a lot of the fear stuff is the repercussions, negative repercussions, but the things that you say, if I go out on a limb and I try this, the success in thinking about the level of success, not the level of repercussion, how many times we come across those on a daily basis and just kind of internalize them and take account, you know?
Well, this texter says, I think CT might be what parents fear, Cam. Apples and oranges from being afraid to say, getting up from front of people to talk. I don't think it's apples and oranges. I can wholeheartedly disagree with you completely. I think it's always based on what you think and what you think is good for your son or daughter is at any point in time. Your fear is based on your own judgment, right? I'm living proof of this, okay? There was no one ever told me that. I'm part of the NFL lawsuit. But I'll tell you what, football is what got me in this seat. If you choose to be fearful of something, that's fine. That's your choice. But being afraid of football because of getting hit or being too aggressive is just based upon what you've seen in the media and what you see on TV, because there's more you learn from that game than you do sitting on your couch. So I don't live in a bubble. Different thoughts. If you want to be afraid of something, be fine. But why criticize Tim Tebow and why find everything wrong with him? That's what the root of this is. It's really is that what makes you instantly want to say, he's an idiot. He's terrible. He's garbage. Waste my time to listen to him. That's what you see. That's the stuff that I'm trying to get to the root of. What makes you want to do that?
I don't know.
You want to be afraid of football? Be afraid of football. You want to bash it? Bash football all you want. Do that. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to turn it on. You're going to go watch it in your community on Friday. You're going to turn it on Saturday. You're going to watch it on Sunday, yeah. Monday, and Thursday. And you're going to love it.
Yeah. Being entertained by it.
Mm-hmm.
Being entertained by it right. is different than...
And should you be afraid of it? Some people? Yeah. Because you're not built for it. Football's not for everybody.
I think having that thought, it's okay to think about it. I mean, it's
completely
you know, what the science is talking
no
about.
No problems with it at all.
Yeah.
But don't sit there and tell me that you know everything and you bash it based on something you saw on Twitter.
What do you mean you bash it? Like, oh, that the game is
yeah.
ruined and it's going
for every
away.
Study I did, we released a study from Children's Hospital about the safest. Injuries are down never before because we've evolved and we've gotten smarter as people. Know how to referee it better, teach it better. Everything is evolving. We're smarter. Mm-hmm. We're more efficient with the game.
55305, the better you today, Texan. Why do we criticize the unknown like a Kyler Murray and a Tim Tebow going off and doing the things that they love and kind of following their passions? In the first hour, we got a lot of feedback that was thoughtful on it and said, jealousy. And I think that that reigns true here. And that's the thing is that the criticism of these guys that are going out on a limb and trying things. And actually, Tim Tebow has been successful. We mentioned it earlier. He went from batting like 194 to 200 to 275 in AA baseball. As he's gone up in leagues, he's gotten better. That there is an element of a large portion of people are jealous of it because they don't know, they wouldn't go out on that limb as well. 55305, that is the Better You Today text line. Speaking of baseball, we'll have more of your feedback on this, but Vladimir Guerrero is in the news. Not senior, but junior. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, we got text coming in. Better You Today, text on 55305 on the criticism of the unknown and kind of that fear and jealousy of it that we're talking about with Tebow and Kyler Murray. A really good text from a P1 here. It says, guys, I've lived my life always scared to step out. I've grown as an adult, and it's not as bad, but I still struggle with it. I'm sure you could have picked up on it when I talked to you guys. I will say I do my best to be not to be bitter at others' success because I'm self-aware enough to know they were willing to try when I wasn't. And I think that's what like the core of this conversation's all about, you know?
Yeah, the thing is I look at a Tim Tebow, and we talked earlier in the show in the 6 o'clock hour, and one texter had mentioned about how Tebow was taking advantage and just using his name and all these other things. And I went, and I said, nobody knew who Tim Tebow was prior to 2007. He had no idea who Tim Tebow was. So his name, he earned every second of it. He's a workout monster. He works his butt off in the hitting cage from playing football to trying to change his motion, went through the league. Nobody knows what Tim Tebow has done. And to say he had something given to him, that's the difference between a trust fund kid who is just somebody that just shows up and mom and dad just hand him something every single day. And they didn't work for anything. They just, mom and dad did all the work, and then you just hand it to them. That's, you want to do that? Whatever, man. Whatever you want to take with that. This is where I look at Tebow and go, how can you sit there and tell him to stop doing something?
Yeah.
It's like the same dudes and people that tell Tom Brady to stop playing football. Stop playing! You're so old. Why? Why are we so excited and just passionate about telling somebody to stop doing something?
And isn't it just a societal thing that transcends sports too? People are obsessed with what other people are doing and just less worried about themselves and more worried about others.
Well, that's a big part of what Tebow is talking about. And the thing is that there's a bunch of people that couldn't or wouldn't do what he's doing that are criticizing it. And there's the fear of the unknown is rooted in a little bit of jealousy. And it's also rooted in the fact that we've always been worried about things that we don't know the outcome of, right? That since the dawn of man, there is an unknown, people are going to be worried about it. And being worried about it manifests itself in different ways. Mm-hmm. But you worry in the sense that it's going to change the way that we go about our business. And largely, Tim Tebow isn't. And
so do you worry about walking outside every day and think if you got hit by a bus? You ever heard of that thought? Oh, I get hit by a bus tomorrow. Do you worry about that?
No.
I mean, that's the funny thing is that fear and jealousy are why we look at this. I think it has to do also with financial return, because Tim Tebow is marrying a beautiful model, a Miss USA pageant. I think she was one of the top. He's proud about his faith. There's a lot of faith haters. Certainly, there's the first one to point fingers at faith and just say, "Bang, that's wrong." And he makes money, and he talks, and he's outspoken. Why is that? None of those things that I've said is bad.
And I think that a lot of it is misguided too, in that there's a lot of people that think that Tim Tebow is like raking in money to play for the Mets while other guys are struggling.
Yeah, he's in the minors.
He made $10,000 last season.
And there were probably 20 football teams that would have let him try out to be a fullback, a tight end, a linebacker, and he could have had a lot more money doing that.
Well, he could have played in the AAF for at least $83,000 this past season.
But we admire what the NBA guys are sitting out to create their leverage.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, it's just where we live at. I mean, it's the ultimate lottery. Everyone thinks professional sports is the ultimate lottery.
It isn't?
No, you have to work to get there. The lottery is you just win it. You don't have to be special to win the lottery. You're not. So everybody wants to be somewhat special, and you can be in your own way, but that's... To be jealous and fearful of somebody is a hard thing for us as humans to deal with. I admit it's not easy.
Professional sports are pretty interesting though, because like hard work is a ton of it. It's a ton of it. It's a majority of it.
I once added up my hours.
Hitting the genetic lottery is part of it too.
Oh yeah, but there's a lot of people that have genetic lottery. The amount of hours I've once added up my hours in a year, or just in a week and a month, and it was a bonkers amount of time that you had to invest in it. Just unrealistic for a lot of everybody.
Yeah.
My dream is to create a TV show to put a 2-week training camp with just randomites and put everybody through what it'd be like to be a professional franchise NFL training camp style. And I said, if I started with 100, I'd have 5 left over in 2 weeks. Even if you thought you trained for it for a year.
Text. People don't share in others' joy a lot of times. Would rather bring them down to their misery.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, Skip Bayless is making millions of dollars doing that.
And that feels
literally. Yeah. That's what he does.
That feels like a societal thing, too. Right now, it's way cooler to be against someone than it is to celebrate somebody.
Oh, gosh.
You know, like, there aren't that many. There should be more people that think it's awesome what he's doing.
Here's what I dare you to do, Buck. Walk around this town in a MAGA hat and see what happens.
I imagine that won't go well for me.
Although the iterations of it are new. None of this is new, though. None of this is something that is new. But, you know, bringing other people down because what they're doing is successful and you don't like it or appreciate it.
And there are more outlets for that negative voice, too, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter.
That is the biggest one that we see in more places now.
Okay, here's a question for you and everybody and the listeners. Do you, even though you're jealous and you're afraid and you want that, do you still respect what this person has done to earn it? Some of these athletes or anybody out there, is there a level of respect that you see of what it takes? Is there, you may hate it. It's like my James Harden deal. I mean, I like to give him crap, but I still respect what he's done because he's doing it at an elite level. Do you still respect some of it? Is there anything from Antonio Brown, what he's dealing with? Well, Odell Beckham.
We talked about the Antonio Brown's stupid nickname, Mr. Big Chest, and a lot of his quotes that are coming out are from an interview he did while he was still working out. You know, people think about a lot of things about these athletes. They don't think about what you're talking about. Like, that's not what you think about. What you think about is their performance in the game, not the work that they put in to get to that game, right?
Yes. I think this is a great text. I think this says better you today, text line. Social media brings out the worst in people. I think who you are on social media is who you are to your core. Who you are. That inner voice that you really want to say that you do on social media, you hide behind that and do that, that's who you are. You are a fake facade if you go out in public and do not actually do that. Do you text? Do you say things to people that you would on social media to their face and to text? Do you text somebody something that you wouldn't say to them, to their face? These are all those comforts that you get hidden behind that truth. And I believe it. I mean, if I'm hiring people here in the future, if I'm doing that, all I need to do is look at your social media. I know if I'm going to hire you or not. Be the number one way to look at you. Simple, easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially as a private citizen.
I mean,
citizen, yeah, you get public figures are all, their social media has largely been scrubbed, but yeah.
But even if it is, I mean, it's a really simple way to just guess what they're doing. And if you want to be the angry hater, be the angry hater.
I also think
Stephen A. Smith makes $5-6 million a year.
I know.
And okay.
People notice.
And they notice.
Well, social media influencers are a whole deal in its own right. Like, I watched the Fyre Festival documentary on Netflix, and basically that is their whole plan was, we're going to make a ton of money by people who are essentially fake on social media. They're fake on social, like the influencers, and you get that because they had no idea what this thing was that they were going to be endorsing and putting on, but they've just blindly put their name behind it because Kendall Jenner got $250,000 for an Instagram post, you know? You learn a lot about people on social media.
Influencer.
God bless it.
You never know.
Yeah. When we were on...
It'd be nice to have a $250,000 Instagram post. I'm not lying.
You know what it was, too?
I'm not lying.
You know what the Instagram post was? It was a...
Address?
No. What no. Was it? Not even.
No? Clothing?
Nope.
Nope. Breathe right?
Nope. It was a picture of an orange square. Oh. That's hashtag Firefest.
Yeah, they got all these Instagram celebs to just post the color orange and like a hashtag.
Cool.
And that's what they did.
Color orange. Well.
And she got paid $250,000 for it. Social
media. I can't hate on it.
Hey.
Good work if you can get it.
You do you.
Do you.
Follow your dreams.
Yeah.
Follow your dreams. All right, 55305, the better you today. Text, and we'll get to some of your feedback next. Plus, why Vladimir Guerrero's in the news. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305.
We're still cruising in the Bronco 2 in this. My buddy had a Bronco 2, and this is one of the best songs. His name was Teddy.
The guy...
His name was Teddy that we went cruising in his Bronco 2.
Yeah.
His girlfriend's Bronco 2. So he loved the song because he said, it's Teddy with the 1-2 check-in. Wrecks and effects.
So he just played this over and over again.
This was his song.
On the Alpine.
Almost like a theme song.
It is. It was kind of like a theme song.
Gosh.
Mine was AB Logic, Watch Out for the Hitman.
Yeah, we've gone through. That was your walk-up song.
That was my walk-up song, baby.
I loved that song.
I loved that song.
Yeah, just over and over and over again.
Some idiot that I played football with at Washington put that on his Letterman's jacket, and I was like, all right, we're done with you. Showed up his freshman year with the Hitman on the back of his Letterman's
jacket. His high school Letterman's jacket?
High school nickname. And I was like, that was my song, bro. I'm like, you just ruined it for me. Fine. Idiot.
Do you ever wonder how many people said
nickname on your Letterman's jacket? You know how expensive that was to get that embroidered, arched nickname on there?
Yeah, like $10. Like $10, man.
$10? That's like a $100 patch.
What? Wow.
It's a different time.
Your Letterman's jacket was a lot more expensive. I was all in $88, Letterman's sweater.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing is, it's like one of those niche businesses where they know they got you, so it's just everything is inflated. Yeah, Letterman business, Letterman jacket business is a racket.
Oh, yeah, it's a racket. Yeah.
Yearbooks, textbooks.
Yeah. I stopped getting everything put on them. Yeah.
We've come into that. That's what it was.
You're trying to get another producer completely derailed by that.
He doesn't know. We've had that discussion, didn't we?
I don't think Buck has had that discussion.
I don't think I have.
It's K-U-M-T-U-X.
It's the name of his yearbook.
Yearbook. That was the name of our yearbook.
Yeah.
There's others that's heard that before. It's not new.
Ours was not that, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah. This texter wants me to call out who it was I was playing college football with. I'm going to leave it up for interpretation.
Well, so we just have to guess who is the biggest douche on the 90.
Well, I roomed with him my freshman year.
Washington.
He was a Playboy All-American our senior year together.
Oh, well, then
he was a seventh round draft choice in the NFL.
All right.
And thought he was supposed to be a first round
pick. Are you
going to
make me Google this?
No, I'm just going to leave it up. I'm going to leave it up for interpretation. I've given you enough clues and hints. You can take that one from what it's worth.
So that'd be the 98 Playboy All-American team?
97.
Fall of 7. 97.
It doesn't matter. Fun, fun game.
It doesn't.
Doesn't matter.
Are you kidding me? Gosh, this is gonna be harder to find. This is gonna be
There you go.
My God.
Do your work.
This is gonna be a long haul. It's gonna. I can't do it on the air. Buck is gonna have to do this. Buck, did you find it?
He might have been. This is a little hint. He might have been Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, Dusty, you have 21 hours to figure it out.
Those of you who don't know who Mr. Irrelevant is
last pick in the draft.
Last pick of the draft, which now I need to go back to the 98 draft because there's a 97.
We don't have time. We don't have time. Not going to make it.
Wait a minute.
Close to Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, it was not Mr. Irrelevant.
But it was very close. That's why I said might have been, but that's another hint. I didn't say he was. I said might have been.
Do you know where he is now?
Yeah, I do. I know it, yeah.
Is he going to listen?
No, he ain't listening. Once you say it, save it. Save it for tomorrow.
That's a tease.
Save it.
Okay. Oh, wow, and he was a home state guy, and you really didn't like him. Did you play him when you were in high school?
No.
Okay, now I have to write this down so I can...
I'm not saying I didn't like him. I just said he was just one of those guys.
No, you didn't say you didn't like him. You said he was an idiot.
Yeah. You did all but call him a... Never mind. I'm not going to put words into your mouth, Mr. Cleland.
Whatever.
All right.
I didn't say any of that. I just was saying is that that ruined the song for me.
He was great in the XFL.
And then we almost beat the crap out of each other over Madden and Aladdin.
Aladdin, huh?
Yeah.
A lot to unpack there.
Yeah. There is a ton to unpack there. Sega Genesis, I'm assuming.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It got heated.
All right.
All right.
Text police, you're already on it. Way to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd. And noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague. 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.